My first guest of the day is online. He is Neil Lazarus. He is an international Middle East political analyst and a public diplomacy expert, as well as a keynote speaker. Neil, thank you so much for being with us on Chai FM this afternoon.
It's always a pleasure, and thanks for having me back.
So, Neil, I'm not sure to what extent these are historical times or not, in that I'm unsure whether a sitting Israeli prime minister has ever had to ask for or has asked for a pardon before. This is a fascinating issue to unpack. There's so many issues about accountability, rule of law, the future of Israeli politics, etc. So let's start at the very beginning. What are the legal and political implications of Netanyahu requesting a presidential pardon?
Okay, well, it's very dramatic, and it's a political earthquake. Briefly, yes, there have been other prime ministers who've sought a pardon before, Ehud Olmert, for example, who spent time in prison, and others. Look, effectively, the big issue is this, that Netanyahu is calling for a pardon from the president, who has power to do so, and hasn't accepted his own guilt. Not unprecedented, but very unusual. So normally what would happen is someone would say, I'm guilty, I've committed the crimes I'm accused of. You remember there's a number of court cases of allegations of conflict of interest, bribery, and so on and so forth. The normal situation would be that the prime minister says, okay, I'm guilty, can I have a pardon? What's happening here, and it's important for your listeners to understand, is Netanyahu's turned to the president, Herzog, and said, I want a pardon. He's in mid-process, in the middle of his court case, and he's saying, I'm not saying I'm guilty, which is unusual. And what we're seeing in many ways is the very idea of equality under the law is starting to be questioned. Is one person, the prime minister, above the law? Shouldn't he have a trial like everybody else done who's accused, be found guilty or not guilty? And if found guilty, then get his pardon. This has been kicked away also by, and it's not out of the blue. Remember, we had Trump in the middle of the Knesset in his speech saying, let Netanyahu off, which was also a total conflict of interest for the president to try and get involved in the judicial system here.
So much to ask you about. I'm not quite sure where to start. Did Netanyahu not say for the past, I don't know how many years, 12, 13 years, that he wants his day in court?
100%, which is he said, you know, I can rule, I can be prime minister, I'm not worried about it, so on and so forth. Which does raise a question of the timing. And I think the timing can be seen in two different, maybe three different ways. One is the legal system itself is under a lot of pressure to be reformed by Netanyahu, as we've seen in the past, even prior to October the 7th, which was in the prelude to the attack, was the attempt to reform the Supreme Court. I think, second of all, I think that there's beginning to be worries in the defense team of Netanyahu that one of the cases may stick. And certainly, like I mentioned, this idea of, unbelievable that Trump has said, it's time to get Netanyahu off, who cares about a few cigars and a few presents, etc. So I think those together are pushing him to come to some form of, or request some form of deal.
We're getting into the finer questions of constitutional law here, and I'm a little uncomfortable in that area. I'm just trying to understand in my own mind, is there not a fundamental difference between a pardon, which to me presupposes a guilty verdict, as opposed to anybody in the state having the right to stop a legal process, which by definition is instituted in terms of the rule of law? Something's not gelling for me here.
100%. You hit the nail on the head. In other words, it undermines the credibility of the court once again. And we've seen in the last years the political system here at war with the judicial system here, and an attempt to try and undermine that judicial system. So when someone's going through the legal process and they want to circumvent it with a decision by the president. That's very worrying. Not unprecedented totally, by the way. We've had back in 1984, we had the whole issue of Bus 300. Now, Bus 300, if you remember, were terrorists on a bus. The Secret Service attacked the bus. A photo was revealed of these terrorists coming out live, and then they were killed. There was an attempt to get those people prosecuted, and the president, Herzog, if my memory is correct, gave them a pardon mid-sentence. There, the excuse or the reason was they were saying we don't want it to go to court because it would endanger the Secret Services, so on and so forth. This is unprecedented. I mean, this is really trying to get Netanyahu off the hook.
What are the major reactions from the major parties?
Well, it's interesting. Again, I think what we're seeing, the opposition predictably is 100% dead against this. There is nuance as well, which is normally what you could do is come, and this again is not unprecedented in the legal world, that you could have come to court and said, all right, let's do a deal before we get to the prosecution stage. And that could have been that Netanyahu agreed not to hold public office, admit guilt, and then stand down. And some of the opposition leaders, Naftali Bennett was talking about this morning, were saying we would accept a pardon that if he didn't go into prison, but he has to stand down as a politician itself. You can't
Any
have
chance of
faith in
that at
Israel,
all?
right? The point here is he's saying, I'm not committing, I'm not saying that I'm guilty. And two, I'm not going to do a deal. I want to be let off because this is a witch hunt,
Yeah,
which
no,
so undermines it. It's so problematic.
it's incredibly problematic. I have a listener in Israel writing to me right now saying, I think this is a witch hunt and has been for the past 5 years. I'm sure they are very, I'm sure this just aligns 100% with where you sit on the Israeli political spectrum as to your
But you
reactions.
see, I disagree with that. I mean, we've spoken in the past about what I would call the cult of Netanyahu, where there's people here who, especially younger generation, who don't remember the 20s in Israel, don't, if you're 20, 25, don't remember anything other than a Netanyahu, an Israel without Netanyahu. And I think that there's this idea that, you know, the media and the deep state is out to get him. And he plays on that, by the way. He gave a speech yesterday saying, I want unity. And if my court case continues, it would lead to a lack of disunity. I don't know. I think it's
Neil,
an over.
I hear you. As a very, very far away observer, I'm thinking, but hasn't the left, in inverted commas, just played straight into the culture wars? If I look at what's happened with Tomer Yerushalmi in terms of the army, in terms of the integrity of the judiciary, I mean, it's almost brought itself under spotlight. And I'm thinking of the prosecutor as well. What's her name? Barav Miara. All seem to be somewhat implicated in this affair. They're not playing straight into Benjamin Netanyahu's hands.
Possibly, but I think it's very difficult not to. Love Netanyahu, hate Netanyahu, he is the master of politics. He's a Teflon politician. It's very hard to get anything to stick on him. Maybe you could say in hindsight that they're playing into it, but this has been a full-out war by Netanyahu and what I call the new Likud. This isn't the Likud of Menachem Begin, and this isn't the Likud of past. It's a Likud which is populist. It's from the same cloth of Trump, who is undermining very much the rule of law here. It's very problematic as well, the challenge on the rule of law, because we only have one house. So when you the Supreme Court has been always been acting as a counterbalance. That you can go to the Supreme Court for a legal questioning or re-questioning. There's a problem here. Again, would a pardon go through the Supreme Court? How would that work? That's another issue as well.
One begins to wonder to what extent this just isn't realpolitik. You know, there have been so many commenters stating that Netanyahu went into a coalition with the Smotrichs and Ben Gvirs on the world in order to keep himself out of prison. If that threat is taken away, then he could perhaps better represent that 70% of the Israeli population which sits in the middle and actually agree on most of the issues, as opposed to have been driven to the extreme. Do you think there's any truth to that at all?
So when Netanyahu went into government or coalition with Smotrich and Ben Gvir to keep out of prison, he certainly went into power to stay in power and has sat with the far right. And I think that's part of his legacy, which is he's the first prime minister on the right who's brought the far right into power. And I think that that's something which is an important part of his legacy, is legitimized Kahanism within the coalition.
Neil, final question for you this afternoon. How does this play out?
Wait and see. the one thing I've learned in 35 years of covering Israeli politics is not to commit myself more than 24 hours, if not 24 minutes. But on a positive note, I just want to say, last week, I have been speaking to so many South African groups here, both Jewish and non-Jewish. It's great to see that finally South Africa is coming back to Israel and discovering us and discovering what an amazing country we are. With all the discussion, with all the problems and challenges that we are here. So it's been great to practice my South African accent one more time.
You're not doing too well in that regard, I've got to tell you. Between you and me, you're still sounding very British, but we'll take that any day. Neil Lazarus, thank you so very much for chatting to us this afternoon and explaining to us just the absolute real complexities of the situation and the pardon.
Pleasure.
Yeah, so, Thank you. So just once again, if you want to weigh in on this discussion in any way, I'd be fascinated to hear your views. The WhatsApp line, it's 061-895-1019.